really good to be here. Open your Bibles, the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a real honor to be in the presence of Brother Harwood. He's a real hero. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want to get somebody to read this for me. Verses 10 down through 14.
I'll read it.
Amen, preacher.
The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Brother Harwood, would you pray, please?
Lord, we truly thank you for what you've done already here today. God, I pray that you touch this preacher here tonight. And Lord, we plead that your presence would be upon this service, Lord. And God, give us what we need, Lord. This missions revival is, no doubt about it, the heartbeat of Old Path Baptist Church. And God, I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to each and every one of us, even us from Calvary, Lord. We're going back home, and God, I pray that we could take revival back. Touch Brother Robert.
Amen. Amen. Y'all be seated. I like to be around the Filipino people because they're just like Vietnamese. Amen. They really are. I hear them over there shouting and carrying on, talking, and it's just a good time. They have a good time. That's what fellowship's all about. We ought to get together and not be mean to one another and try to talk about somebody, but just get together and laugh and have. Hey, we are to be the happiest people in all the world, man. Can all you Filipinos ladies say amen? Yeah. Oh, man, I'm telling you what, ain't that a blessing? I want to preach a little bit here in a minute on the whole duty of man. That's what he said, the whole duty of man. And I like that. I don't know about you, but every once in a while I like to go preach in a black church. I really get sick of white people after a while, you know, because they don't know how to worship God. You know, and boy, you go in a black church, and I've probably told you stories about preaching them sometime, but I love it when they halfway preach and they halfway sing and they halfway run. They do all kinds of crazy stuff during the service. And I mean, nobody gets bored. I guarantee nobody nods off in a black church. And I like it when they sing, they were in the upper chamber. They were all with one accord. Then the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by our Lord. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone. And that's what we need. We need the power of God, folks. I'm tired of this Baptist religious junk where we meet, you know, we just open our Bibles and shut them and then go home and think we've done God a great big favor. That's why people like that think he's little 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, prayers save them. Them little old prayers aren't going to save you. Some of you in here depending on that, you're going to bust hell wide open. I'm going to tell you that. You need to get you some of that old-time religion. Amen. And I'll tell you, that old-time religion is repentance of your sin. Understand you're wicked as hell and you deserve hell. And you crawl yourself down to an altar and ask God to forgive you and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something wrong with this crazy world anymore. This Baptist religion is 10 times worse than Catholic religion. I hate it. I hate it. And I refuse to be a part of it. Amen. I hope they kick me out of it. But the whole duty of man here, the preacher read that to us. And I love reading that part. I like to know what my duty is. I was a soldier. I was in the Army on my 17th birthday. My mom signed me in, and she's trying to get rid of me, I guess. And I was in Vietnam on my 18th birthday. So I grew up, you'd say the mission field, I grew up trying to stay alive. And I fell in love with Vietnam when I was there. But I learned I had to do my duty. That was required of me, to do your duty. Just do what you're supposed to do. I had a great dad. I remember him. He's wild. And I remember he took me to the airport in Dayton, Ohio, to catch a plane to get ready to go to Vietnam. And I never will forget his real loving father. He looked at me, and we walked in the airport. He walked in with me. He said, "Keep your head down, boy. I'll see you in a little while." He left. Oh, wow. Thanks, Dad. Good send-off there. But, I mean, you know, hey, that was my duty. I signed up for it. But the whole duty of man, he gives us two simple things. Fear God and keep his commandments. And boy, if we could do that, we'd be in a whole lot better shape than we are today. You know that? I was telling the preacher, like I said, that people don't read their Bible. So I talked to the men at the church. I said, you know what? I'm all over this country when I'm home, and I see people, they never read the Bible. You tell them a Bible illustration, they don't. They look at you like a tree full of owls. They don't know what you're talking about. And it shocks me they don't know nothing about the Bible. So what they do every Sunday morning, somebody there, I don't know which one does it, but somebody gets up and reads a chapter in Matthew, starts the New Testament. Sunday night, somebody reads a chapter in the Old Testament. Wednesday night, somebody started at Job, and they're going to go through all of that, Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. You say, why? At least they're going to get three chapters of the Bible every week. I'm telling you what, folks, if you're not reading your Bible, you are slacking on your duty. That's how God talks to you. I don't understand people, man. These two things are our duty. I'm telling you, I don't know why people, and they don't do it. They just, I don't know, you sit around, you read a TV guide, you read every other book in the country, but you cannot read that. Turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 17. We need to get in our Bibles, folks. Get up and read that first thing in the morning. I don't care where I'm at. I'm going to read the Bible. That's the first thing me and Duke do in the morning in Vietnam. He gets up and starts singing hymns and praying and puts me under conviction. And then I get up and start it. And I hate people wake up all happy like that. He got on my nerves, man. He's up there, "Oh, what can wash away my sin?" I'm thinking, shut up. Back to bed for a while, man. He's singing it in Vietnamese, but I'll tell you what, after a while, it's contagious. And before I know it, I'm singing it, amen? And that's what we need to do. We all need to get the contagion. We need to get infected with studying and reading the Word of God, amen? Luke chapter 17 and verse 6. He said, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should be, and it should obey you. That shows you we don't have a whole lot of faith, right? But which of you, having a servant plying or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. And trow means I think not. I like them old English words. Everybody likes to correct them. I like them. Amen. You know, you don't sing, how great you are. You sing, how great thou art. Amen. I like that. And he says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which you are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That's our duty. Amen. I mean, your duty is something that you do that you're supposed to do. We think we've done God a favor by sitting in a church pew. You get the blessing in church. You know that? I'm so sick, man, going to churches, and they say, man, I come to church to get a blessing. Well, you covetous, sorry, good-for-nothing, so-called Christian, you should come to church to be a blessing. You need to come and help somebody out that's having a hard time. Be an encouragement. Make somebody laugh. Tickle them. Get these kids down. Well, you better not. Tickle them. But your duty is something that you're supposed to do. At work, when you finish your job, does the boss come up and thank you for doing it? I'm telling you, you don't get rewarded for doing your duty. Everybody's sitting around waiting for somebody to come up to them and you know, walk up to them and say, man, you done a great job on that soundboard back there, man. Woo, what a good job. That's crazy. That's what he ought to be back there doing. Man, you don't get thanked for doing your duty. Amen. Do you ladies get flowers for washing the dishes? Amen. Hey, do you men get a special meal for mowing the lawn? That's what you're supposed to do. Amen. The duty of a person is what we're supposed to do. Nothing out of the ordinary. The whole duty of man. I like to tell you what the whole duty of man is. And you know what? We've been talking about it. All these people, man, they break my heart giving these testimonies. I'm glad she was a thief and she got the right thing. Amen. If you're going to steal something, steal a Bible. Hallelujah. God will get you. Amen. I'll tell you the first thing, the whole duty of man is love thy God. The Bible said in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You need to love God. You know that? Luke chapter 12, verse 20, or Luke 14, 26. If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. Luke 11:43, woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the market. Luke 16:13, I'll tell you, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That's the problem in the Baptist churches. They're trying, oh yeah, they might love God, but they love the world more than God. And we need to get rid of that, amen? You know, people can't come to church on Sunday night. They come Sunday morning and do their little religious or little Catholic Baptist religious thing. But what about Sunday night? What about Wednesday? What about all of that? Well, you know, I got other things to do. I'm only off on one day, so Sunday night, that's my time. Amen? Yeah, you love God, but you love something else more. Amen? I like 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, the one time I started a business in Lexington, Kentucky, made a lot of money back in the 70s when you couldn't make money. And the most money I had in my life was the most miserable I was in my life. I'll tell you what, man, I had to drink myself to sleep. And I had to drink enough coffee to float a battleship to get up the next day. I was just miserable. I mean, I was so miserable, man. I thought, man, once you got all that money, I'd backslid as a devil. I thought like the world, man, I love that world. I'm not a giving person by nature. You know, I amassed a lot of money. I was going to University of Kentucky, and I got done there, and then, you know, the Lord, I surrendered to the Lord and went to Bible school. And I went to Bible school, man, I wasn't even going to go work. I had plenty of money. I didn't need to go to work. So I went down there and just applied a couple places to make it look good. Interstate Brands hired me. All them guys down there making $3 and something an hour. My first check was $760-something for a week. And all them guys starving to death, man, I'm making all kinds of money. After a year, they wanted me to be a division manager down in New Orleans if I'd take the division. And I said, no, I didn't come down here for that. So I quit, and I forgot I'd put my name in at the Pensacola Naval Air Station. And we was getting ready to go to Canada for the summer and go fishing up there. And so before we could leave, Pensacola Naval Air Station called me and put me to work. People down there at school thought, man, that guy, man, you got the dream job. I took a 50% pay cut to work for them. But, man, I was trying to get rid of that because money had a hold on me, man. And I'm good at making money because I hold on to it. I know how to make it. I know how to hold on to it. But I'll tell you what, when we started a church, Brother Hartwood, me and my wife went back to my home place, and that's one place I did not want to go. I was wanted in the state of Indiana when I left there. And I had to go back and make some restitution and get things right with the police and everything. And after that, me and my wife started that church. And I'll tell you, Baptists will suck you dry. And they did, man. I was broke. I never had a penny. Everything I got today, God has given me. And you know what? Once I got a hold of that, Sister Nan, that everything wasn't mine anyhow. It was God's. It makes it a whole lot easier to give. You know why it's hard for you to give? Because you think you got it. But see, God will do you a great favor one day. He'll take it all away from you. And then when he gives it back to you, you can say, hey, whatever I got belongs to God. Amen. And that's what you got to do. You got to learn to love God. God must have first place in your life. I mean, whatever you put in the place of God is your idol. It could be your wife. Amen. Lot of men, preacher. Lot of men. I know a lot of people don't like this pastor. They say how mean he is. And I said, I've never noticed that. Him and I get along good. Amen. I mean, I never, you know, his preaching, I never thought he preached mean. I just thought he preached straight. Oh, that might be the problem. Maybe they can't take it. Eh? They who love thy law, nothing shall offend them, right? I mean, I have never heard no preacher preach it. Now I get under conviction, I'll confess to that. But I didn't get mad at him, I just got mad at myself. You know what he's trying to do is to get you right with God. You need to quit loving your wife more than you love God. If you love your wife more than you love God, and you use her as an excuse in your life, God's going to mess you up with that. You know that? I'll tell you something else, your work. I'll tell you, if your work keeping you from church, you need to quit your job, amen, and find you a new job. This one brother gave a testimony. I thank God for that testimony. He's 6 hours away. We got him a new job and got down there to church. You need to find you a church. You need a whole lot more spiritual food than you do physical, I guarantee you. I'll tell you something else, your wealth and your kids. Man, my kids, man, some of them, boy, they just, you know, I got one, she wanted to come home, and she was going to come home on Saturday night, and my wife told her, she said on the phone, she said, you know you're going to church, you come to our house. And she says, she just rebel, and she said, no, I'm going to leave Sunday morning. And my wife said, wait just a minute. My wife knew what I'd say. And she said, honey, Lindsay says she wants to come stay all night, but she's going to leave Sunday morning. I said, you tell Lindsay she ain't coming to this house. I said, you just go on down the road. You ain't coming to my house. You ain't doing that. You're going to come to my house. You're going to church. You ain't going to go to church. You just go on down the road. Do whatever God wants you to do. But you ain't coming to my house. I'm not putting my kids above God. I'll tell you that right now. And I'll tell you because I'm scared to. I do not want to make my kids an idol because God will destroy them. And I'm not going to do that. Adam in the garden put Eve ahead of God, and it brought down the whole human race. It is your duty to love God. And I'll tell you, if you don't love God, you ladies, you need to love God more than your husbands. And I'll tell you what, I tell my wife, don't you love me more than God. I want you to love God way above me. You put your Bible reading and your prayer way ahead of me. I don't care if we ever eat. I said, you do that first, and then we'll figure the rest of it out later. I said, I want you to love God, because I'll tell you what, you notice Sister Nan, she loves God more than she loves her husband, but you see what a nice lady he's got, amen? I'll tell you, he wants her to love God more than him. Because if she loves God more than him, she's going to treat him right. Amen. And if she loves you more than God, it ain't going to get right. I'm telling you. Anything God commands and we go against it is going to have a consequence with it. I mean, God is the only one worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Like I told you folks, I tell them Vietnamese over all the time. They say, man, and people come over and the foreigners come over and say, man, how'd you get all this figured out over here? And you know, every once in a while a little pride will set in, you know. And then I sit back and get thinking, how did all this happen? You know, we got to praise God, man. We got to give God the glory. I mean, look at Brother Harwood and look at me. You know, do we look like we're intelligent? Come on, you should speak for yourself. But I mean, I'm telling you, folks, it don't look like we can figure this stuff out. But we got a great God, don't we, Brother Harwood? I mean, God will use anybody in here, any of you in here, if you'll love God above everything else. That's your duty, is to love God. Praise God. Give God the glory for everything in your life. Listen, God's the only one worthy of praise, and most of what we call service is only our duty, and we want patted on the back for it. You sweep the floor in the church. Oh, nobody give me any gratitude for that. Oh, shut up. You know, we need a good message. I heard a preacher preach on that one time. Shut up. You know? Well, we just run our mouth all the time complaining about everything under the sun. It's your duty. Listen, if a soldier neglects his duty, he's going to get court-martialed. You know, Twin, she was worked for my family for years and over in Vietnam, and she was a Buddhist, and my wife and kids actually led her to the Lord after a couple, 3 years, and she called one time, and she said, the government's having a hard time understanding because they're trying to figure out why we help those kids in the middle of nowhere. And they tried every way in the world to figure out how I was making a profit off of that. You know? And I go to those kids, and we get those kids together, and I've got a little game. I think I told you how I play it, you know? Who's the most handsome guy in the world? And they say, you are, Dad! And I give money, you know? And that's the only way I can give the money to the kids without getting in trouble with the communists. And the communists are sitting around trying to figure out, why do I do that? He's got to be making money off this some way. And she kept telling them, no, he's making nothing off of this. You know, they want to charge me tax. I said, what are you going to tax? I don't get paid for this. I don't make no money off of this. Amen. You know, the biggest giver to Vietnam Ministries is me. I built 20 houses over there of my own. I built 20 of the houses over there. I fought the law and I won. I sued the government and I won in federal court. Hallelujah, they had to pay me. So I just took it, start building houses for the orphans in Vietnam. How could I ask you to build a house if I wasn't willing to give my money to build a house? I invested it. You say, my twin told him, she said, no, he just does it because of what God done for him. They don't get that. God's been good to me, man. I love to give. It's a blessing to give. It's more blessing to give than to receive. Listen, Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel 9:6 was the son of Jonathan, and he was lame on his feet. And David, the new king, sent Ziba to fetch him from a place called Lodibar, which is breathing shame. Amen? There's no reason to love him. God's given you an illustration. Some of the greatest times I've had in my life is sitting down on the street with those old beggars and having them teach me Vietnamese. I speak Vietnamese like a beggar. It scares people. I know all the slang. They say, what are you doing? I'm McMuyehot. I mean, what's it in your business? That's rough in Vietnamese, but when I say it, it sounds funny because foreigners don't use those slangs. And they laugh. They get the biggest kick out of that. And I do all the slang stuff on the street because those old beggars taught me how to talk. And, man, I'm down there speaking like a beggar, man. They said, man, you speak? I said, I'm a hillbilly in America and I'm a hillbilly in Vietnam. Amen. I tell you, man, but I love sitting down there, putting my arm around them and talk to them. And after a while, seeing them go to church and seeing them get saved and stuff. I take the communists go to church with me. After being there 30 years working there, I've built up a reputation. They go to church with me. Now, we ain't had none of them saved, but they've heard the gospel. They've heard the gospel. John Haveman was there. He had a crew over there. And we went way out in the middle of nowhere, and we took a crowd over on boats. Had to go 45 minutes by boat out on the Mekong to get this church out there. And I knew the pastor. And I told him, I said, man, I'm going to have a bunch of communists going to come. Boy, they was drinking, man. It was Mr. Thug, the one big high-ranking policeman was there. I invited him, and they were sitting in the church. He was so drunk, he told me, he said, Mike, you don't mind if we drink before we go in? I don't care. Drink, get drunk if you want to get, man. I knew God, the gospel would sober him up real quick. And I tell you what, that old preacher, Vietnamese don't preach on hell. They preach about separation from God. But this night, that old preacher got up there and he preached on hell, boy. And I mean, it made it hot. It had me about half afraid. And I tell you, there's seven people walked that aisle that day and got born again. And those communists sitting there, man, they were sober, more sober than I was. You say, man, I tell you what, you need to love God, and then God will let you see stuff like that. Don't you just want to see something supernatural? Aren't you tired of all this stuff that anybody can do? I want to see God move in my life, folks. Now I'm going to give you the hard one for you Baptist. Love thy neighbor. Mark 12:31 said, gave the first one. Then he said, and the second is like mainly, or namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. You got to love God. Love thy God. Then you got to love thy neighbor. You ever notice you pick on your neighbor about the same thing you do? But when he does it, it's very wicked. When you do it, it's sort of a mistake. God never told you to love yourself. You know why? That's a natural thing for you to love yourself. Man, you primp yourself, man. You get in front of that mirror. You comb that hair. You get all primped up. Man, Vietnamese, they put white makeup on. They want to be white. The Filipinos do that. Ah, come on, Filipinos. They put white makeup on. So, come on, ladies, give me an amen now. Okay, they put this white makeup on, you know. I said, what in the world are you doing with that white makeup on? They want to be white. And I said, do you know American women lay under heat lamps for hours at a time to get the color of skin you got? I said, won't you just switch countries? You're wasting a lot of electricity on them stupid heat lamps. Everybody takes care of themselves. They're primping and priming. And man, they put Vietnamese women, man, you can smell them all the way back there in the back of the chair. They put so much perfume and that stinky stuff. You can tell when it's that cheap stuff, man. It'd gag a maggot. And man, they put that stuff on. They're taking care of themselves. We all worry about ourselves. The Bible says, love thy neighbor. You got to love your neighbor, man. I'll tell you, you got to work at that. That one's hard. You know, sometimes you get saved, man, you get in a good meeting, it's not too hard to praise God. But I'll tell you what, it's hard to love your neighbor sometimes. I know Brother Hardwood and the preacher and all of them been in churches. I finally figured out why Baptist churches got two sides of the aisle down the middle. They got A team and B team. Man, you say something over here that hits them, they're going... You say something over there, and they're going. And you're saying, wow, man, I'm in the middle of this mess. And you want to, let's close in prayer. You want to get out of there, man, before you get hung up. I'm telling you, folks, it's hard. He told you to love your neighbor. Told you to love him. Ephesians 5:29, for no man yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We love ourselves. That's our problem. That was your problem, right? You loved yourself. That's it, man. We love ourselves. We want to take care of old number one. You know, you got, I'm going to tell you something. You got a rare pastor, you guys up there. I mean, he takes more people in. He's got a bigger orphanage than I do. I mean, he takes everybody in up there. My goodness, you're either going to get saved or, I mean, he's going to drive you crazy with it. You might as well get saved because he will. He'll wear you out with it. Man, I'm telling you, I ain't kidding, folks. He loves his neighbor, and he takes people in before they even get saved. He knows they ain't saved. They can put on that old show. You think we can't tell when you're lost? Man, you get up here and preach, I can tell every lost person in here tonight. I can tell them, man. I can tell the way you're responding. You're, man, I hope you don't see me back here. I see you. I got an eye full of you. Amen. You feed yourself. You wash yourself. You manicure yourself. You primp yourself. Man, I can't even believe you put pink on. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! Now you got purple. That's a Vietnamese color. They love purple. Purple and pink. I'm telling you, man, there's something wrong with this generation. They scare me. Brother Hartwood was talking up there in the airport. Where was it? Up in Chicago. All these weirdos walking around, man. I get away from them. And I was on an airplane one time. There was one of them sitting next to me, and he was getting all juiced up on wine and stuff, and I hate the smell of that stuff, you know. And he was doing all that little flamingo stuff and all that, you know, and that little pink flamingo junk. And he wanted to start talking, and I turned to him. I said, listen. I bought this ticket to sit in this seat. I didn't buy this ticket to make friends with you. I have a hard time with it. Everybody say, well, they need somebody to lead them to the Lord. You go lead them to the Lord. Amen. I don't have the grace to do it. You know, and then Luke chapter 6, 33 says, and if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. You're just going to be, you know, we have 1,078 kids in Vietnam. We've built over 400 and probably 440 houses now. And do you think I love all them kids? You think they're all easy to love? Vietnamese have a couple words. They say, yay, yay, tug, and yay, get. Yay, tug means easy to love. Yay, get means easy to hate. And I got a bunch of them that are real hard to love for me. But I tell you what, I pay special attention to them. You say, why? To help me. You know, you need to do some things that your flesh doesn't like sometimes. You got to learn to love people. You know that? You don't just love people that love you back. Come on, folks. We need to get old-time religion. Amen. Everybody talk about religion. Religion for a Christian is something you ought to display after you get born again. You ought to show them for it. They're looking at that. You know the lost world's looking for that in you? They want to see how you respond to other people. That's right. We all like to be loved, and it's easy to love when you're loved. I asked Duke one time, some people come when they come to Vietnam, almost all Vietnamese like me and love me. And everybody that comes over, they can't understand a word's being said, but they, unless I interpret it. And they all come over and they said, why do these Vietnamese love you so much? And I'd be going down the street in Saigon, people be hollering, hey, An Mai. My name's An Mai in Vietnamese. An Mai. I ain't going to tell you what that means. Mai is a yellow flower. It's actually a woman's name. But they can't say Mike, so they say Mai. And they go down through there, and I asked Duke one day, why do these people love me so much, Duke? He said, oh, it's easy. He right off the top of his head. I said, well, why? I ain't figured it out either. He said, because they know you love them. And if you love somebody, it's easy for them to love you. You got to show that for them. The Bible tells you to love your neighbor. You know that? You know, if you love somebody, you overlook a lot of things in their life. You know that? I mean, we got to learn to put up with each other. We're going to be with each other for eternity in heaven. You know that? Listen, it is a trait of God that allows a person to love when they are hated. You got to learn to love when you're hated. You think all them communists love me? Why, man, they try to kill me. You know, and I've probably done the same thing with them. There's one girl, Miss Bennett, I mean, she's from Bin Ninh Province where I was with 173rd Airborne. And you know, her dad up there, he's a big commie, and we were probably trying to kill each other up in the Bin Ninh Province. But I've taken her to church. Me and Duke's taken her to church so many times it's not even funny. You say, why? Because I want to see her saved and not go to hell. You know? Listen. This is where most people stumble. This is where the great battle of the spirit and the flesh take place. And everybody tries to skip over it, not to love their neighbor. How many's got neighbors you just hard to love? I mean, oh, man. Man, it's just hard to put up with them, you know? I come from a wicked family. My family are all hillbillies. We're from Kentucky. Everybody knows what people do in Kentucky, right? we shoot each other. My grandpas, both bootleggers. They were both dangerous men. I had my one uncle robbed my grandmother on her deathbed. I mean, just great people to be around. You know, one of them was in prison for life for murder. But I tried to win him to the Lord. You know, he never did get saved. He ended up dying, going to hell. But it wasn't on account I didn't try. You know, you got to show forth some love when you don't feel like showing that love forth to people. You think Brother Harwood, you think it's not a pain for him to take people into his house? Why? He wouldn't have to do that. He'd let you all sit out there in the snow, you know? But he loves you. He loved you enough to come after you. He could have stayed down here. He could have had a church. Him and his family could have stayed here in America and had a church anywhere they wanted. I'm sure God would have allowed him. But God sent him up there to that crazy Canada where all them weirdos up there, man. Wow. Trudeau. Man, what kind of name is that? Wow, and he's a weirdo anyhow. I tell you, amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. You can say it down here and nobody will know. I mean, we got a weirdo one. We got a guy that don't even know where he's at half the time. You know? But we got to love him. We got to try to win him to the Lord. You know, we was talking at dinner. Mike Lindell gives the gospel out more than most Baptist preachers do. He gets on national television and tells everybody about Jesus Christ, how he got born again, how he was an old addict and everything, and God saved his soul. And some of you scared to death to preach the gospel to your neighbor, tell them about Jesus Christ, tell them how they don't have to go to hell, and you work with them day in and day out. They're going to bust hell wide open, and you don't care. You don't love your neighbor. I like that story about the Good Samaritan over in the book of Luke. The one person you wouldn't think would help him out was the Samaritan. You had a priest and you had all these religious people go by and they wouldn't help out, but here comes this old Samaritan and he helped him out. The Lord told us that story for a reason. You know that? There's a reason for that. This story is so strange because the ones you would think should want to help him out, at least for a religious reason, and they wouldn't do it. Amen. Now let me give you the last thing. Last thing here. And this is a problem with churches too. Love thy salvation. Amen. Man, I get so sick. People, well, I just thank God I got saved and I'm born again and I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. Every week the same crazy testimony. Man, that's why it's such a blessing in here today, hear your all's testimony. You don't know how you pump me up, man. I'm ready to roll down. I am. I'm ready to go. Amen. I'm glad the preacher preached that pink off of him, man. That made me so happy. Amen. I switched shirts. His wife's got it on now. Amen. Preacher's wife took the pink. Amen. Amen. We ought to be happy about being saved. How many could jump? I mean, if the preacher calls on you, how many are willing to jump up? I'm not saying he will. How many jump up right now and give a testimony and praise God for your salvation? Man, we all ought to be. You get in a church service sometime, you almost have to threaten people to get them up and get them to say anything great about Jesus Christ. That's a shame, man. You know, the Bible says over in Psalms chapter 70, verse 4, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. We quit praising God in the churches anymore, man. We're afraid to raise our hands. We're afraid to wave our hand back and forth. Afraid somebody's going to call us a hypocrite. Who cares? Amen. You're in church. Let's praise God. Everybody raise your hand. Amen. Amen. We can praise God. You ought to be happy you're saved. Just wave it back to heaven. Amen. Say, I thank you, Lord. I like that one old song. I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard me pray. I just want to thank you, Lord, for always being there. When I was down and out, you came along and you made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We ought to sing that every once in a while. Amen. I mean, we can get in a car. You don't have to be in church. You ought to be doing that on your way to church. And then when you get to church, woo, you scare the preacher to death. He'll have a heart attack. Amen. You scare him. You scare him to death, folks. We ought to be able to be happy about our salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if we can't boast about it, we ought to praise the man that could boast about it. Listen, salvation is something done for you instead of what you are. No matter what you are, he done it for you. You know that? I mean, you know you're wicked. Man, that's one thing. Where I'm from, in Franklin County, Indiana, everybody tell you I was wicked. I've never had a problem with knowing I was wicked. I'm standing up here preaching, I'm still wicked. I still sin. Brother, you ever sin? I sin. Man, I tell you, I have a hard time sometimes. Man, I'm going down the road. You talk about road rage. I'm an extremist on things. And man, these guys down, I was going in between Cincinnati and Dayton at a meeting one time. And these bunch of guys pulled up on the side of a car. And they was going to try to run me off the road. I just reached in the middle of that thing. Was getting ready to pull my pistol out. I was going to shoot their tires out. They saw me reaching over there. And they, whoa, they've gone. Man, the hatred that went through my body. Whew, I had to get right about that. That wasn't good, man. You can't praise God after that. Man, I tell you. Another time I was in Vietnam. Man, we're wicked, man. Yeah. That old wickedness, that old flesh floats to the top. You know, I was in Vietnam one time, preacher, and this one communist, I was up there buying goats for the kids and so they could raise them, and this one communist, they was giving me a hard time. And, man, he just kept pushing me. I don't like to be pushed. You know, you can lead me anywhere, but you try to push me. You know, think of how that feels.
Yeah.
After a while, he's going to rebel, right? I'm going to knock him out before he gets up. But, but I mean, they just kept pushing me. And I never will forget it. Duke was standing there. And you can't carry a gun, but you can carry a knife. And I've got several of them on me when I'm in Vietnam. And I said, I will knock you down and tie you up, and I will skin you right here in front of everybody. And boy, he fell on his knees. So Duke's over crying like a baby because he knew I was mad. And boy, I tell you, I got back to the room and I thought, ooh, that old flesh is still alive and well. Man, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. I don't like it when my flesh gets like that. I just want to be thankful for my salvation. I don't want to get like that, amen? Hey, come on, folks. You've done that, right? You get mad at somebody, and then the praising of the Lord's going right out the window for a while. You sitting there stewing, somebody done you wrong, something happened here. Hey, forget about all that stuff, man. Let's praise God. Amen. Let's be thankful for our salvation every day, not just one time, every day. Amen. Listen, magnify means to increase the size of the volume of it. Psalms 40 verse 16 said, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Amen. We'll spend more time magnifying God. We'll spend less time loving ourselves. Listen, one time we had the privilege of winning a whole family to Jesus Christ. Duke was preaching to them, and we worked together to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. When it got done and was about ready to close, I gave my testimony. I told them I was trained to hate them. You know how you get a soldier to kill the enemy? You train them to look at them like animals. And we used to sing songs. I want to be an airborne ranger. I want to live the life of danger. I want to go to Vietnam. I want to kill some Viet Cong. You know, and you talk like that. You know, and that's how they train soldiers. And you're singing those songs. My son told me they're still singing that same stuff. And we used to sing, napalm, napalm, stick like glue, burn your mamas and your babies too. We sang that stuff. They got to train you to be wicked like that. Amen? And that was in my heart. When I first went back to Vietnam, folks, the first trip back, I hated them people. I was in trouble over it constantly. And then one day, the Holy Spirit of God come when I was in the Tung Chin Yut airport, and he got a hold of my heart, and he squeezed my heart. And tears started coming out of my eyes. And I didn't really realize, and I turned around, and I started seeing all the Vietnamese as lost souls going to hell. Amen? Amen? And then I started loving my salvation. I got to looking at what I had and what they didn't have. And then God put a burden in my heart to win them to Jesus Christ. Amen. You see your family and your friends and people that you fellowship with. And you'll start seeing them as sinners and see them as going to hell. And seeing that you need to do something about it. Amen. They ought to see you praise God about your salvation. Let's bow. Some of you need to quit this old Baptist garbage. We need to get back to the real thing. Love God. Love thy neighbor. And love thy salvation.